Today's message is about freedom. Not the freedom that is promised by a government of men, but the freedom that is guaranteed by God in the book of John, chapter 8, starting at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." A long time ago, on October 31st, the year 1517, Martin Luther posted those 95 theses for debate on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And with them, he challenged the Roman Catholic Church in Rome about all sorts of crucial theological topics. The Lutheran Reformation, in a nutshell, is that the church in Rome was riddled with errors. A lot of people knew about it. Martin Luther was bold enough to speak out against it, and God made it all work out for good. Then 4 years later, 500 years ago this year, in 1521, Martin Luther would be called to an official meeting at a city called Worms, where he would make his famous stand in front of the Emperor Charles V. And when he was asked to retract everything that he had written against the church, Luther responded with his famous quote, "Unless I am shown by clear reason or scripture, I cannot and will not recant. My conscience is bound by the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." Have you ever wondered what those writings were that he was told to repudiate? It weren't just the 95 theses. You see, he had written three long essays in the year 1520, just the year before he was at Worms. These longer writings included, you know, essays on three hard-hitting topics that the reformer could not, for conscience sake, recant unless he was shown from Holy Scripture that he was wrong. The first essay was a challenge to the claim of the Pope that he alone could interpret Scripture for the people. The Pope claimed infallibility. And, Luther disagreed. And he said that every believer, Luther said the biblical truth that every believer is a priest before God. Luther translated the Bible into German so that the common people could read and learn what God actually says and therefore gain from it and grow from it. You know, in his earlier days, Martin Luther was an ardent supporter of the Pope. He said, and I quote, "So great was the authority of the Pope in my eyes that I thought it a crime and worthy of eternal damnation to disagree with him on the most insignificant point," unquote. Well, obviously, by 1520, his view of the papacy had changed somewhat. Secondly, Luther wrote an essay challenging how the church in Rome was really robbing the people from the gospel. He was saying that the church was keeping God's grace from the people when they made it all about indulgences and they pushed forgiveness more to the back. They were robbing the people of the gospel. Martin Luther said, "From the bare text of the Bible, I could see many errors, but But I began to wonder to myself, should you alone be wise? Indeed, you may be in error. But later, when I saw the gross abuses of the indulgences and refuted them, and they wanted utterly to destroy me, then things began to happen. So God carried on this affair in a marvelous way and drove me into it without my intention. Close quote. And then finally, his third essay was on a topic called Christian liberty. Luther defended the core Bible truth that justification before God, or salvation, is by faith alone, not by works. He showed that the teaching of salvation by works actually enslaves people, while salvation by faith in Christ alone frees people to live for God. In this writing, in this essay, we find Luther's most famous paradoxical statement about what it's like to be a Christian. He wrote, "A Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to no one. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to everyone." Unquote. So, yes, while we are spiritually free, at the same time we humbly submit to one another in love. Christian liberty is the Savior's teaching that if the Son makes you free, then you are free indeed. Now in America, we love our freedom, don't we? America has fought wars and lost lives to defend political freedom. But in a larger sense, in a spiritual sense, we have been given an emancipation proclamation, which is the gospel, the truth that sets sinners free. When Martin Luther appeared before the emperor and the papal representatives, he really was putting his life on the line for the gospel. The Holy Spirit had profoundly changed Martin Luther's heart. You might remember when he was a young monk, he busied himself with all the works that the church prescribed at that time. The pilgrimages, the masses, the fastings, the prayers, and then even the physical disciplining and torturing of his own body. But none of this brought him any peace or any freedom. He even called this period of his life a living hell. But finally, coming to understand the gospel of Christ changed everything for him. As we observe the Reformation this fall, we thank our Lord God for using Luther as his instrument to restore to the church the truth that truly sets sinners free. Luther wrote a type of autobiography where he describes this before and after experience that he had. This, on the one hand, a self-concocted imprisonment that he experienced, followed by the God-given freedom that he enjoyed. And he wrote this in the form of a hymn. It's hymn 387. And it's a very long hymn, this autobiography, but we're only going to sing two stanzas 4 and 5 of hymn 387.